Welcome to the Draw.Biz Podcast, your weekly dose of fantasy footy content.
G'day everybody and welcome to the Draft Doctors, the Round 8 Waiver Wire Pickups and Review. I'm your host, John Crockett. It has been another glorious day in lockdown. Shit is hitting the fan. Seriously, a lot of Victorians are doing it tough and the mental stress is now getting to it. Me, myself included, normally not really affected by this at all, but it is starting to take its toll. So if you do have any Victoria friends or family out there, just give them a phone call just to see how they're doing, because it's really starting to hit home now that we can't actually go out and do anything and everyone else is actually going to the footy and having a beer and watching their favourite team. So shout out to all the other Victorians out there. We're going to get through it. But Stato, welcome to you, mate. How are you?
I'm doing reasonably well. I'm still effectively in ISO myself, even though I'm hidden down in Tasmania and been stood down for just a bit over 4 months now, and there's no end of that in sight at this stage, so that's not that comforting. So I do really feel for everyone that's listening that's obviously affected by the virus. I certainly have been financially, and you guys both know that it's only a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago, that once this all flared up in Victoria, which impacts my role massively, it was a real tough time. I had a couple of weeks and everything got rather exaggerated, as they do. So wish everyone well. One good thing I've done in ISO is I've stayed off the grog. I've eaten really well, and I've, besides 2 days that were just pissing down with rain, I've exercised every single day, and I've got myself down to 74 kgs. Part of my target was to get below my highest averaging team in my AFL fantasy squad. So there's probably about another 10 or 12 Ks I've got to trim off during ISO before I get to that level. But I'm working hard. But look, I just want to wish everyone well. It is the time that is uncertain, unknown of what's going to happen. There's going to be a huge financial impact right across the country. I do have some political thoughts on what should have happened and what could happen, but that's not for this show. But I think the sad thing is most of the reporting we hear about what the minority are doing and not what the majority are doing. So I want to thank the majority for doing all the right things, and we hope you're still enjoying the footy and your fantasy teams, and keep well and make sure you chat if you do need help.
Well, the majority of the country can get a Bunnings snags now. Like, we're not even allowed to go into Bunnings without a mask. So,
I actually was going to go down to Bunnings and tell them I was going to sue them if they forced me to eat their sausage. But I just thought maybe it's not the right thing to do. But it did go through my head, and I giggled to myself.
Old man yells at cloud.
Yeah.
Damn, Cam, you. Welcome to you.
Yeah, probably a little bit tone deaf, you know, given the sentiment of both of your comments. But I'd just like to say hello to you both from the one true home of AFL football, Brisbane, Queensland. That's right. I moved back to Queensland and the football followed me. And I'm very excited to kick off Corona Dome this Wednesday. And let's get through this pod so I can watch my boys kick the shit out of the Dockers.
Don't know about that. You've got only about 16 players missing, mate. Even Constable's getting a game.
Kick so the Doss has put out a of kiss. The Dockers.
We know that Dossie's put the kiss of death on Constable now, which is one in a long line of players.
He's up for a roaring 40s tonight, I reckon.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, we're going to move through the round 8 games, kicking off with the Dogs and the Suns. And if I'm a gambling man, which I am, I'm trying to get as much of Jack Lekosius as possible. That halfback role is going to be his for the next 10-plus years. Him and Jack Bowes as well. I think them two are going to be locking down that role forever and a day. Harbrow's 30-something, Hanley's 30-something. Weller's moved into that midfield now, and it's just going to be them two forever and a day. So if you can get your hands on them, get your hands on them now, because you're going to be playing uber premium prices in the next couple of years. Timmy English, he was an interesting one on the weekend. I wasn't sure if he was maybe a bit tired, or it was just that Jared Witt just actually ran him all over the ground and just tired him out. Like, we know English is good getting to the contest, but he wasn't getting to many contests. There was a lot of times there on Thursday night where it was just Witt or another Suns player contesting the ruck contest on their own from a throw-in. So whether he's just a bit gassed and Bevo was saving him up for Corona Dome, I don't know. But just a bit of a question mark there on Timmy English.
I did say last week he's the best, worst ruckman there is. And what we know from those night games is it gets pretty greasy. And I think there was a bit of rain as well. So he couldn't use his skill, his marking and running power to actually ensure he racked on points. So in the ruck contest, he really struggles. And Witz was top three ruckman last year. Mm. There's no shadow of a doubt that he was right up there, and it really showed. And unfortunately, whether that means he just lost a bit of confidence early because it wasn't his type of environment, and the tank disappears when you've got a lack of confidence.
Yeah, I think it was maybe that dewy. I think you're right in regards to being a bit of mildew around, because his disposal numbers, you know, from round four, 22, 22, 17, 22, and then just the nine versus the Suns. So he just wasn't able to get hold of it at all.
Fair enough. And Jack McRae, back to his frightening best, just racking him up ad nauseum. Hopefully Bevo keeps him in the guts and doesn't put him on the wing position.
Yeah, right.
It's Corona Dome. Anything can happen. Bevo's just going to play all rookies and second years and just leave all the guns out. I bet you it's going to happen.
See, that's standard operating procedure, though, man. He, in Corona Dome, he's going to play people in positions and it's going to blow everyone's fucking mind.
Yep, Bond's going to go to full back. Timmy English is going to be in the full forward. It's going to be crazy. Stato, run us through the GWS and the Tigers.
TFG don't need no BCV. Hey?
Hey?
Hey, what a gun. Pumps out a ton. Five straight for a match-winning performance. And didn't you love the Twitter feeds, hey? Even GWS printed out, describe Toby Green's match. And one of our listeners puts... Fuck-IN, fucking gun. And I thought, you beauty. That was magnificent. I enjoy watching him play, but the boy is a sensation. Number two, Cordwell and Haitley have some value. So people see that they've got great potentials. My suggestion is sell, because their opportunities are limited at best, with Kelly, Cogs, Whitfield, Taranto, Perryman and Hopper, let alone if Callan Ward gets back, you are better off with a less sexy name player that will be pumping out you a solid 60 or 70 in Corona ball on a weekly basis. And because they've got that GWS midfield sexy thought process about them, grab them. Yes, Jono.
Just going back to Toby Green, has young Daniels taken that pressure forward spot for Toby Green, allowing him to go more high half forward midfield wing role?
I think Toby, to be fair, I think he's always had a bit of a license, and it's always depended on his body of whether he goes and gets involved. But that's also part of it. I think they're starting to get a bit more trust in the lesser likes.
Yep.
And the forward smalls have been slowly building into getting their careers underway. So they're all reasonably young, that sort of group. But they're starting to get, you know, a little bit more secure in their own role and own responsibility, which does free him up a bit more. And last but not least, the egg may be broken by DOS, but don't despair. An omelette is not a bad option. Three games with only one good score, but this could be conditions and the oppo. So if you have picked him up, hold and watch and wait for a couple of more games to see what the trends are actually going to be. Don't just ditch, get too upset because he's pumped you out of 36. a DOS laden 36. Just settle, watch it, see what happens.
I checked out the Blues and the Kangaroos, and it looks like teams now are starting to clamp down on Sam Doherty. We saw Pittard clamp down on him, did a pretty good job on him, and really quelled his influence. The mastermind that is Reece Shaw decided to throw Jared Polek on a running roll with Patrick Cripps. That lasted all of one quarter, and Polek went back on the wing and absolutely dominated, in which he does, as an outside player. Ed Curnow, it's probably been a long time coming that Jai Simkin was going to get the tag as well, and Curnow just, he was inside his jumper all day long. And the pit net actually provided a pretty good score. I think he actually went better than Grundy and English, so... I still wouldn't be bringing him in. Goldstein's a premier ruckman, and North Melbourne are horrible. There's only probably half a dozen guys there I really do want to own, and Carlton are on the march. They've just got a good spread of players. We thought Sammy Walsh might have had the second-year blues. He started off really slow, but his last couple of weeks have been fantastic. And if there's someone in your league who's got Paddy Cripps, might be worth throwing out a little line to see if you can get him, because... hasn't really set the world on fire, especially as a super coach player. He should be a star, but not really returning that pick from when you drafted him. So might be a couple of frustrated owners there, and you might be able to pick him up. And if we are going to Corona Dome, it's going to be fast and furious, and the umpires will be looking at him now. So could get some nice score build through free kicks.
Can I just say, just a side note, watch this game. I had four players playing hashtag off-brand here, and three of them were getting tagged. So not an enjoyable game to watch. And the other one was Goldie, who got smashed by Pitbull, who I got out the week before.
Yeah, that's all I know. Blues are playing really good fantasy-friendly football too.
They are. They are. Although I wish there was a law against tagging. And I know AFL doesn't play there. Games for us, I understand that, but isn't it awful when you've got buddy these primos running around and
there was three just tags see going. I don't think I've seen three tags in one game before.
Yeah,
normally it's it was crazy.
Yeah, yeah. And I just had all three.
The Swans and the Hawks, Dato.
Interesting to note that Harry Cunningham is the eighth highest point scorer for the Sydney Swans. And a good BCV ton this week. As a defender, that is quite a relevant performance and worthy of an article that Doss wrote about him in our draft kit. Oh, no. No, he didn't. Wasn't good enough to get in the top 15. It wasn't good enough. But a very good game for Harry, and maybe the injuries have actually helped. His average over the season's only around that sort of 60 mark, which is a fair bit lower than what he's done over the last couple of years. So I think he's been given a bit more responsibility now those injuries have come through. Second up, both clubs are definitely going through a rebuild phase. So the likelihood of their finals chances diminishing very, very quickly. So we're likely to start seeing some young blood coming through those squads. So if you actually looked at the average ages of the squads running around, there's a few squads that will surprise you. And Hawthorn's very old. And actually Carlton, most weekends have been quite old. But if you think of Betts and Simpson and a couple of others sort of lift that age. But Hawthorn, so Carlton are actually just starting to build into. Hawthorn actually haven't bottomed out yet. So they've got to pick a time and say, we've actually got to start blooding and making some decisions on kids of whether they're there. So for keepers predominantly, especially dynasty leagues, this is a great opportunity to pick up your next gun. Study and try to pick up the right ones prior to them start to play games so you can reap the rewards. The earlier you go and get them right, the less chance other coaches are of getting them. For example, if you only went back 3 weeks ago, Will Day is potentially as good as Hayden Young. But Young was the only one on people's minds because he got drafted so much earlier than Will Day. But I can almost look at Will Day, unless injuries interrupt, he's a 200-game player for that club, and he's going to be a fantasy star. Callum Mills is getting some long-awaited mid-time, and although unlikely to be a permanent move, his scoring should receive a bump. Monitor, but could be a sell high in a couple of weeks.
Cam, run us through the Power and the Saints.
Yeah, Jesus, Saints were absolutely on in this game. And the Port were just way off the mark, as evidenced by Stato's boy Zach Butters scoring 18 in your AFL fantasy format. Can I get a sad? That's me, Stato.
That's me.
That's right. Seb Ross was injured very late in the game with a calf injury, and news broke midweek end about Hannah suffering a significant setback in his rehab from a hammy that could see him miss another 5 to 6 weeks. And I guess there's two things here. Seb Ross is going to need to be replaced. Their list is actually really thin from a midfield perspective. They might look to call up someone like Nick Hind.
Sinclair?
Or
Luke Dunstan?
Well, he's already in. Sinclair's already in.
Luke Dunstan?
Dunstan's still injured.
Oh, okay.
Pectorial 6 weeks, or Jack Beitel. So Nick Hind or Jack Beitel to fill the gap. But if they don't, it could mean Hunter Clark spends increased minutes in the midfield. He did spend, yeah, so really interesting there. And they could bring in someone like a Jimmy Webster into defence to fill that spot.
I'm pretty sure I saw Jimmy Webster is injured today. I'd need to double check.
Yeah. And, well, if not him, Shane Savage, right? So they've got a plethora of guys that can kind of fill that running defender role, but very short on the big-bodied mid. So potentially good news for Hunter Clark. The one caution, of course, is that he did play... He saw a lot of CBAs through rounds about 3 to 6, and his score wasn't great. So just that one caution there. And then the second point there is that, you know, for Hannah's 5 to 6 weeks is actually pretty close to season from a fantasy football perspective.
Oh, that's got to be.
Yeah, he'll have missed 8 games in total by the end of that. So he'll need to tune up in a scratch match. So chuck another week on top of that. By then, you're probably in your prelims. And at that point, would you trust him in your team?
Is this his second year at the club?
Yep. It is. So I saw a stat today that was his entire career at the Swans, he missed 20 games. And in the 2 years that he's been at the Saints, he's missed 20 games.
Far out.
Wow.
Yeah. So pretty
And
good.
How long was the deal for? Was it 3 or 4?
4 years at 800 a pop.
Wow.
Yeah.
Good investment so far. Poor bugger.
Yeah. And now is probably the right time to throw out some offers for one Connor Rosie in your keeper. Oof. If.
Oof.
It's the only time in his career that you'll probably be able to buy him as cheap as he is right now. He's pretty ordinary run at the moment of 30s and 40s. And
you just needed to finish it pretty ordinary.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, dig the heel, dude.
Just see if he bites.
And finally, if you managed to pick up Mr. Laddams off your waiver wire last week.
Laddhams.
Well, I do like a Laddham.
Yes.
Even though Lysett's probably coming back this week, there is a potential that Laddham stays in the team given that Todd Marshall suffered a 6-week thumb injury. So there is a potential they play both those big fellas.
Now, here's a question, Cam. I don't know if it's a long-term trend, but I felt the last 2 or 3 games I've seen St Kilda play, they've really limited the opposition's fantasy scoring.
Yeah, right.
I just wonder whether this is a really clamped-down sort of style, because they've been blown away in other games, St Kilda. So it looks to me, if they're on a clamped-down style, your players are going to hurt in fantasy. If they're not switched on, and I don't know whether it's a confidence thing, so if an opposition gets 2 or 3 quick goals and the desire fades. But if they're not switched on, they score really well against. So it's a bit of a Jekyll and Hyde, St Kilda. And I'm a bit fearful when my players are going against, hence the Butters, who is sitting in my forward line when I've got Matt Kennedy on, not even on the bench, but on the emergency, not even on the emergencies, but on the bench scoring out of 91. And I'm going, ooh, Still won though. Still beat top of the table. That's okay.
Well, you had to throw that somewhere in the show, but
Thanks, Benny boy.
I've had a look over the last couple of weeks and opposition teams. So first of all, it's been the Crows and Freo as their last two opponents. Both teams have had two players that have scored quite okay, so in your 80s,
yep.
But everyone else has been quite low. So it is worth a, maybe a potential concern and one to look out for sure.
So almost as bad as North Melbourne tagging 16 players.
Yes.
But if you want fantasy points, you want to play the Crows. They open their legs up like it's Christmas, and they just give out the fantasy points. The Bombers just ran right. Andy McGrath scoring tons. Zach Merrick, Jordan Ridley, they were just getting points left, right, and centre. But speaking of Jordan Ridley, as good as he has been, there has to be a tag coming his way or someone just to shut him down. Not so much a tag.
Shut him down.
Not a tag, but shut him down, because when you're taking four intercept marks in a quarter and using that to rebound off halfback, that's a massive influence in the game. So
I will say, Jono, there, the interesting part of that, the intercept marks is more about their entries into 50. So it's them controlling the ball rather than anything else. And if I think there's any going to be forward defensive work put on Essendon, it's either going to go on Saad or Connor McKenna.
Well, McKenna that, is
that's
be
my
gone
thought. Just
anyway.
the distributor. It's just your the way you bring the ball into your 50 is going to determine whether Ridley has a good game or not.
Well, it's actually interesting with that, because Saad was okay, but they were actually giving it to Redmond as the main distributor out of that defensive 50. Not that we want to talk him up in any way, shape, or form, but
definitely
he was the main distributor there. There was injuries to Brad Crouch and Tom Doday. Both have done the ham bone. Not too sure how long they're out for, but once Crouch did go down, Ben Keys got the bump. He was sort of running with McGrath, but then was just playing a pure midfielder without any tagging role there. And Doday, when he went down, it was Andy McPherson, I think, who got the bump. So one to watch out there. He's going to be mentioned in the waiver wire coming up as well. Your boy Stato, Mitch Hibbard, finally got time in the midfield, and gee, did he look sexy. Oh, beautiful.
They're taking the piss out of me, because last week I had him on the field and Pickett was on the bench in AFL Fantasy, so I lost 55 points.
So you're chasing points
there.
You went chasing points.
I swapped him over. I knew Hibbard had Adelaide, but he just didn't get any time in the midfield. So this week they chuck him in, gets an 81, and Mr. Pickett gets 33. So I've lost 100 points over the 2 weeks. I do have one question over Doss's breakout player. How did Chase Jones go points-wise?
Did he even play?
16 points he got out of his 84 minutes. I did say to Dossy Boy, and if you guys remember the video in the talk, that we got someone to do for him explaining how this goes. He's a very talented player, but he's never been a player that's got a lot of the footy. What he does is generally really good, but I don't think he's going to be a fantasy star.
And lastly, maybe it's going to happen that the Tex push up the ground is on. He was starting to float up there and get a few marks. Did go back and kick a couple of snags, but did leave the forward 50 there for Himmelberg and McAdam. So could be on the cards. So watch for that pivot if it does become full-time.
When the wall blows down, Tex can go north.
That's it.
Pretty keen, and yeah, great reference, right? Did you see the footage?
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Mitchell Hibbard, are you going to play him next week in your starting lineup, Stato?
Yes, and he'll pump out a 30.
Because Dylan Shield's coming back.
Yeah, I'm aware of that, but I'm not riding through the picket again. And it'll be one more week before I solve that.
Yeah. Any chance just on the Brad Crouch injury of Rory Atkins coming back in? I think he's right to go.
He was named as an emergency, I think, on Sunday, so he is available.
Okay.
What about Patrick Wilson? Are we actually ever going to see him? Is he going to be 32 by the time he gets his debut?
Just like his counterpart Owen Wilson in the movies?
Mm. Wow.
Okay. That went down quicker than Dossie.
Yep.
The Eagles and the Pies, Stato, run us through it.
The only good thing about Brody Grundy's game would have been if your opposition had him as captain. I honestly don't know what's going on there. I've mentioned a couple of times I thought he's laboured, but he didn't actually look like he laboured this time. It just looked like they didn't use him. Now, whether that's lost a bit of structure and talk with Pendlebury out, that would be an interesting thing. Saw him running really hard in the space where he normally gets used and they just didn't use him. So that's an interesting one. I do suggest you stick fat and understand that through the condensed fixture, we'll have plenty of players rested and rotating, especially when the result of the game is determined. I wasn't surprised to see him start at full forward at the start of the last quarter because they were just looking to see what else can happen, and it didn't work, thankfully. So Darcy moving into the ruck, him going at full forward didn't work. If they actually started dominating play and Brody Grundy kicked two goals, I'd be panicking if I was an owner. But it didn't work and they reverted back. So just stick fat and understand there's going to be a few things that happen during this period that we aren't going to be exactly happy with.
Could it just have been a byproduct that the fact that they do have four games in, 15 days or something like that? Ultimate rest and
absolutely
get them ready for when they play?
Yeah. Yeah, and this is going to happen a fair bit, so just understand that and wear that. West Coast scoring is back, and so are their premiership chances. If we all remember in our private little chat, Dossie reckoned they were the worst list in history only a couple of weeks ago, and I was telling him they're a very balanced list. Well, that's exactly what they showed. With Shuey back, there is a squeeze in their midfield, so it was no surprise that Jack Redden, 45, and Dom Off Sheed, 44, scores were a bit impacted after a bump over the last few weeks.
Yo-Yo gets a week this week.
Does he really?
Got off it a week, so.
Oh, okay. So would suggest they become bench players until injury or resting occurs, or if Elliot Yo is suspended, which only just hot off the press, obviously, not keeping up with my facts. But once they're at full strength, just be mindful of that. But there is some opportunity that they will rest one of these mids throughout these games. The more comforting thing for owners of West Coast players is basically they don't leave home for the next month. So while they're not leaving home, there is less likely, seeing they started a little bit slow, that they'll give many of these players a rest. They'll just try to get these wins chalked on the board because if the finals are predominantly played in WA, guess who's my new favourite premiership team?
Well, West Coast have a pretty cushy draw. They've got 4, 6, and 7 day breaks coming up throughout Corona Day.
Yeah, and couple in with that a bye as well. I think just one to keep an eye on as well. Mark Hutchings is just about to come back from injury.
Why would you bring him back in?
He's just going to be a tagger, right?
But he was out of that midfield last year and playing as a forward or defensive tagger.
Yeah, well, even if it's a defensive tagger, right? But it depends if they're on a hot streak at the time. But if he's good to come back, look out opposition midfielders because the tag will hit.
And last but not least, with Pendlebury out, you would think there'll be a bump to some midfielders at the Pies. To be honest, not much of this game really made sense other than they were simply outplayed. Wipe this game clear, out of your mind. Don't make any trading decisions on the figures of the one game against the West Coast Eagles, although there might be a little sneaky chance to buy a few low of their second-tier group. So there are a few that have been dropping, and you'll see that this happens quite a bit. So Maynard started the season like an absolute superstar and like he'd gone into a top-tier defender, but you're starting to see the real Maynard now, and that's because a little bit of his role has changed since Jeremy Howe's been out. So if you have a look prior to Howe out to now, there's a difference.
All right, we're moving into our waiver wire pickups, and when we do talk our waiver...
Hey, hey, oh, yeah, Melbourne and Brisbane.
Oh, do we want to talk about that, though, really?
If it's Cam talking.
Yeah, exactly.
No. It's the home of football. You have to talk about Brisbane. So first up, Clayton
Gold
Oliver.
Coast is the home of football?
Gold Coast is the home of cocaine and hookers. Lions versus Melbourne. Clayton Oliver copped a rocket for 2 weeks ago in the media for some sloppy disposal. And he's responded, going at 75% disposal efficiency, which is quite elite for an inside mid, and is now the third highest averaging player in the AFL across the last three games in AFL fantasy. Going absolutely bonkers at the moment, with his last two scores being 116 and 125 in AFL fantasy, and 121 and 177 in Supercoach. With Petraka's emergence, it significantly reduces his likelihood of a tag, and you'd expect him in, you'd back him in as captain most weeks if you have him. Zach Bailey looks to be hitting his stride at the Lions, so he's 20 years old, having a mini breakout over the last couple of weeks. After Daniel Rich went out injured, his output picked up and he looked really good rebounding off the half back and playing stints on the wing. His last 2 weeks have been impressive, scoring 96 and 85 in AFL fantasy and 88 and 110 in Supercoach. With Rich set to be sidelined for the next couple of weeks with injury, he could be a handy streaming option pending who comes in for Rich, which I think it might be Witherden.
The word today is ritual play. Whoa. And Birchall might be rested.
Yeah, okay. So Witherden still may come in, but Zach Bailey may still get a lush role. And shout out to Thomas Berry, who managed to get 5 AFL fantasy points and somehow managed the 29.
Three contested possessions, that's why.
In the made-up scoring format.
Contested possessions, you just fart near the football and you get points.
I just, one thing that I missed a little bit earlier, guys, the segment, it's back this week. Players.
Players
getting a game ahead of Fiorini.
Who you got?
I'm going big with this one. David the Jag Swallow managed 21 disposals at a rancid 42.9% efficiency and 7 clangers.
Can I say, these are the perfect fantasy players. You want a disposal rating of 43. Otherwise, when you play North Melbourne, you get tagged.
Mm. Can't get tagged if you're a Jag.
That's their motto, isn't it?
You're done.
I'm done. All right. Waiver wire pickups. We are using Ultimate Footy 65% ownership or less. Those playing in the bigger leagues will then have a chance to get it. Not sure how it's going to work for the coming Corona Dome. With the waiver wire pickups, we might just do the eye test and give a few players that caught our eye, and nothing too structured, because the way the format's is going to be going, lockout, basically get a waiver wire pickup every morning, so it's going to make ours a bit moot. So, Cam, why don't you kick us off with yours this week?
So I have Zach Bailey to start off, just 65% owned, right on the threshold there.
I missed him.
Yeah, I missed him too. One of my mates had him until last week and traded him. Rory Atkins, 62%, I think could be a bit of a smoky with Brad Crouch getting injured. Will Hayward, we mentioned him last week. He was injured, missed the game this week. Still only 15% owned, and I think he could be a good pickup for next week if he plays. Jackson Nelson, still only 58%. We mentioned him last week as well, and he's gone up a whopping 41% in ownership since. Still looks a really good option in defence. Jack Sinclair, 44%, with that Seb Ross injury and the Hanbury injury. I think there's a really, really nice pickup there. He's got the forward status as well, so that's pretty handy. And scraping the bottom of the barrel, Ryan Clark, 37% ownership. George Hewitt injury looked good on him. He ended up scoring like 90 or something crazy in AFL fantasy, so might be worth a good stream.
And these are the type that are actually going to serve your team better than a Caldwell or a Haitley, unfortunately.
Yeah, correct.
Sadly.
Correct.
My waiver wire pickups, I've got The Stato's favourite, Matt Kennedy, 57%, still listed as a forward. He was getting that mid-time against the Kangaroos. He also jagged a couple of goals. Will Snelling, he's listed as a forward. He's at 50% ownership. He was up a bit more up the ground and not playing as a forward. I think maybe with the Laverde injury, it helped him push, helped him move up the ground a little bit, and that kept that Cahill in the forward 50 there. So one to look at. Darcy Cameron, he scored the 92 Supercoach points. He is 28% owned. With Corona Dome coming up, Grundy could be rested. He's a ruck forward to look at. I did have Zach Bailey. And with Dode's injury, Andy McPherson seemed to get the bump there. He's at 8% ownership, so one to look up there. Stato, what are your waiver wire pickups?
I don't know if I want to speak now. Can't believe you just said Grundy's going to be rested. I'm going to have sleepless
could
night tonight.
Could be rested.
It doesn't matter. You've said it. You can't take that back.
My name's not Doss. I'm not the kiss of death. I only retire people. I don't give them shit fantasy scores.
Yes, I had Zach Bailey. Yes, I had Kennedy. Yes, I had Nelson. Although I just mentioned he's going to be rested, but just watch on the news. But Grant Birchall's a great little stream at the moment. He's averaging 64 over his last three. So you're talking a BCV 80, only 53% owned. And they really are trying to put the ball in his hands, and for good reason. The only other one, we have mentioned him before, but his form has just been sensational. He's getting a fair bit of extra time in the mid. Another Brisbane player, a future superstar, and almost took the mark of the century on the weekend, and that's Cam Rayner. Scored another 65 on the weekend. Can't believe Dossie just dropped him off in the waiver wire and let me swoop on him. 63% owned. Not only was he effectively my 30th player on the list because I got him off the waiver wire, but he's now in the top 12 keeper after his form over the last 3 weeks. He is going to be a star.
Yeah, he looks good and seems to have gotten the role now. So, well done if you're able to pick up Cam Rayner. All right, we have a bucket load of questions to get through. Thanks to everyone for sending them in. I'm going to kick it off with Steve S., and he asked, who is Jackson Nelson and why is he on the list and subtly a good option? Now, the answer to that question is he's like that cat or dog that just rocks up to your house and you don't know where it's come from and it hangs around and you're just like, bugger it, we're going to keep him. That's what West Coast did with Jackson Nelson. They don't know where he came from, but he's like, bugger it, we're going to keep him and give him a try. And look at him now, he's flourishing. That's Jackson Nelson.
Yeah. And it just seems to have... I will say there's been some good scoring in the West Coast Eagles defence, with the exception of Mr. Hearn, which might be a bit of a changing in the guard. So Duggan's been really impressive for the last month.
McGovern's missed a bit of football too as well, so that's helped.
Yeah. And we also have Shepherd, who until the last 1 or 2 weeks was on a run of averaging about 80. So we're talking the BCV ton for about 5 or 6 weeks. So there's been some really good numbers out of that defence. And maybe it's just a way that they're managing their time while they've got the footy in defence. In other words, there might be a bit of a chip and sort out game until they find the right avenue. So keep an eye on that play, because if that changes, then obviously most of those players, their scoring will go down. But at the moment, it's a feast of the footy in West Coast defence.
That's how West Coast have been playing. They've been playing that kick mark, hold the ball up, similar to GWS out of defence. So not too bad. Surly the Hansard asks, what is the optimum number of beers to drink while watching the football? Well, before Corona Dome, it was at least 8 beers. 2 a quarter, and you're right. Now I'm struggling to get through bloody 4 beers. Like 16 minutes, well, I'm drinking heavier beers. I'm drinking 8% style beers here, so it's a bit harder. But if you're talking your normal furphy, yeah, 8 beers a game, 2 a quarter is on par.
So So just to clarify, my answer is zero. So it's a salad with a Nutriboom. Boom, boom, Cam. Nutriboom chaser.
Cam, what? How many you do you? Well, you don't drink at the moment, but what do you normally drink?
No, yeah, I'll probably go through a sixer, I reckon.
Yeah, and then a nice shot of bourbon or scotch during Roaming Brian and the coaches' press conference.
A Pinot and expensive scotch if your team wins, I reckon. That's the GO.
AJS Hawker asks, what would you say to a league that the majority of participants voted against moving to a full rolling lockout over the next four rounds? Well, that's just stupid. That is just...
in the bin.
That is, how?
What, you're going to tell the rest of the league to go in the bin?
Yeah.
7-5.
You're not going to convince them otherwise. That's garbage.
Like,
that is hot garbage.
So look, yeah. We're starting on Wednesday. We're not going to know teams for the...
No, I understand. I understand the question. I understand the point. But if the majority have voted, you just go, you bunch of dickheads, and move on. Because you're not going to change their mind, are you?
That's ridiculous.
Or maybe you take the heat out of it, do the old sit in the balcony. So do the balcony view. So you get out of the dance, go and sit in the balcony, look over the top, put something together that makes sense without emotion. So that's how you deal with complicated issues. Take all the emotion out and just explain the scenario so they actually understand all the facts and how it can benefit their game.
My son just started crying while you were doing that, so that's
Oh, that's just fine.
All I'm saying is put a logical argument together without the emotion and see if that works with them.
Agree. Miller Time asks, when is HK Doss back, or is he busy on his solo career? Like the other guys, he wants to be a peacock and he wants to fly, but peacocks don't fly.
Yeah. you'll be able to catch Doss and I in a little special at halftime on Wednesday night's game on Doss on Twitch.
At HK Doss on Twitch, he is. Russ2468 asks, give me some fantasy footy team names with a porno movie theme. Example, Enema of the Statesman. I think we'll shelve this one for next week. We'll go away. We'll have a think about it next week for that, Russ.
Russ, Anima of the Statesman.
I do like that one. Alex Petropoulos, he's given us an update on the roast. He says it's been a busy week, but he'll be trying the roast method that we gave out last week, and he'll keep us posted. So look forward. And some photos, please, Alex, of how the roast went.
Yes, please.
Dom Sheed's Pocket. Just a follow-up question from last week. Is Gus Brayshaw cooked? Yes, he is.
I don't think he actually is cooked. I just think he's surplus to their need. So he's playing a support role.
One little injury and he's right back in it.
Correct. Yeah. Things will change. Look, the problem is if you own him, you can't sell him because everyone will want him for fuck all and everyone will want to buy him low. So you've just got to try and get a bit of depth, play Ryan Clark ahead of him. Yeah, exactly. And just go, this is short-term pain, long-term gain.
Tom DT asks, where is the great man Stevie Fizz? Steve is taking a little bit of a break. He's just got some things going on in his personal life at the moment. But he is doing well. He's cleaning up dead koalas around the golf course and his house and whatnot. So Steve is working in the background with us. He's still around.
Bladed by Cam. Hashtag crooked Cam.
Chris asks us, any worry of Yo scoring not being as good this year with Kelly and Shuey to contend with? I think we mentioned that in the Pies-Eagles game. Stephen Brown, is JJK real? Fucking oath, Cotton. Fucking oath here.
It depends on game matchup. He's one you need to stream. He's not one you want on the ground.
11 goals in two games. I'd be pretty happy with that, though.
Yeah, but he's going to pump out his 30s and 40s.
Oh, definitely.
So you've got to find a way where you can use him on his good weeks.
Yeah. Cameron 4714965 has got two questions. When is Segler back and what's his role? Was he named last weekend?
No.
And then laid out? Or?
No, he just wasn't going to get up.
Broken foot, maybe a couple more weeks, you'd imagine. I haven't seen the injury report.
And you'd think he'd come back as a ruck. We would give the coach a call, but I think he's complaining about the boundary throw-in rule.
And he also asked, who's in for Daniel Rich? We flagged Witherden for that one, we would think.
Yeah.
Nick Westerman asks, he needs some help on his draft league, 10-team waiver strategy. His option one, it's Setterfield, Simpson, McPherson, I don't know if it's a trade or... Yeah. And Mundy for Zeeble. Oh, sorry, and Mundy for Zeeble, Matt Kennedy, Cunningham, or Seedsman. Or option two, Setters, Simpson, McPherson, and Mundy for Zeeble, Kennedy, Cunningham, Snelling.
Setterfield, I like. Simpson, I like, but we're worried about a role. Interesting if he gets forward status, Cam. McPherson.
It's Darcy McPherson.
Sorry, and Mundy.
Mundy's just a role player now.
Yeah. So he's looking at the second group coming in. Is that right? He's bringing in the second group, or he's getting rid of the second group?
If he can get the second group, I wouldn't be too bad on that one. I mean, Zeeble's a ham bone, can score. Matt Kennedy's all right. Cunningham's going to be all right. And Seedman actually got a bit of a bump as well on the weekend, so... For short term, it's not too bad.
Yes, you should avoid Jack Zeeble. That's part of the question. To be honest, it's a waiver strategy. I would be keeping Setterfield. At the moment, I'll keep Simpson, but be mindful of that. Bring in Matt Kennedy. I think as an inside midfielder with forward status, it's gold. Snelling, I seriously think it's only a one-hit wonder because it was against Adelaide.
Mm. So it's one to watch, though.
Old void.
As a D5, it's not going to cost you. It'd probably be better than McPherson at the moment.
And I'd certainly bring in Seedsman because another midfielder's gone down in Adelaide. And as we saw, as soon as Brad Crouch went down, then his role just increased. I think he got a ton this week. And he's been known to have good 3-4 weeks blocks of scoring. His body's always been the concern, so reap it while it's hot.
Anything else to finish up on, boys?
No, just let's really enjoy 20 days of footy, and let's hope most of our fantasy teams don't get burnt like mine did this week.
Good luck, everyone, in Corona Dome. Be sure to be checking your Twitters, your Facebooks, even the AFL app when it works, for any news that is coming out, because it is going to be balls to the wall, batshit crazy. Good luck in all your matchups in the coming month. Coming couple of weeks. It's going to be awesome. 30 games in 19 days. I cannot wait. My marriage will probably fall apart, but I don't care. I've got all the football in the world, so. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Draft Doctors Podcast. For more tips and in-depth analysis, head over to thedraftdoctors.com.au.